I tell you what, it is truly a treat to be able to see and, you know, in a way, meet, although you may or may not get a chance to actually shake their hands, meet in the sense that you're seeing them, maybe some of them for the first time. These people who help build our community, these award winners at Mayfest, I tell you what, they are people who are truly making a difference in the community. And what a great way to get a chance, like I said, to meet them, just by heading on over to May Park, May 11th, for Mayfest, and getting a chance to see them. So if you get a chance, head on out there. You know, I think that the weather overall has been pretty nice, too. I know we've had a little bit of warmth here and there, you know, upper 70s, maybe at times lower to mid 80s. But all in all, it's not bad. And of course, they have the vendors out there who can cool you off with some Coca-Colas, other drinks, beverages that they have out there, and some food if your tummy gets hungry. So Mayfest, May 11th at May Park. May on May. And I want to share with you a change that I'm making to my lineup for this week. Anyone who had an opportunity to take a look at this week's guests and topics probably noticed that this Friday, for Power Friday, I'm scheduled to speak with Dr. Angela Bethy Walsh, who is going to be really enlightening us about addictions. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you, who is addicted? Which ethnicities, which social classes, which genders? What is addiction? You know, we have people now that we have so much going on in the world, well, particularly in this country, when it comes to addiction. They're trying to make some changes about terminology and all of that, but what is addiction about? Is there a way to really help people deal with addictions? Well, Dr. Bethy Walsh, psychologist, is going to be discussing that with me. But instead of having that conversation this Friday, we switched the schedule, and she will be our guest, yours and mine, tomorrow, Tuesday at 1 o'clock. She will be joining me, and we will be discussing addictions. And again, Dr. Angela Bethy Walsh, instead of speaking with me on Friday, she and I will be speaking with each other tomorrow, Tuesday. And so we'll probably move everything that was scheduled for tomorrow to Friday, possibly. More than likely, but definitely, Dr. Bethy Walsh and I tomorrow on addictions. Okay, now back to happiness. They were saying that relationships are one of the biggest sources of happiness in our lives. Here's the thing, that's not just a guess. You know, sometimes people will just assume, well, you know, I think that this is the case because, and it's good that they can give a because, but this isn't about that. This is not about just assuming. Studies that look at happy people bear out the fact that relationships are one of the biggest sources of our happiness. And they noticed that the happier the person is, the more likely that he or she is to have a large supportive circle of family and friends, a fulfilling marriage, and a thriving social life. I emphasized fulfilling marriage because if a marriage is just full of drama, it's not going to add to happiness. It's not going to add to peace. It's really going to take away. But when that marriage is fulfilling, it really helps to lead to happiness. That's part of the reason. That's one of the reasons that I was asking a little bit earlier about this whole notion of, you know, have you watched people who have really come back together? They have truly reconciled to each other. They've gotten rid of all the malice, they've gotten rid of all the hostility that they were feeling towards each other. And I'm going to tell you what happens when you do that. When in your own heart, you get rid of all the malice, all the hostility that you're feeling towards someone else. And I mean, you have truly gotten rid of the malice and hostility. What I find happens with me is I begin to bond with that person, even though I rarely, if ever, see them. And that's part of the reason that there have been people who I've done wrong with my mouth, saying things I had no business saying. And when I realized I was wrong, when I caught myself, I checked myself. And I deliberately, I made it a point to start saying positive things about that person after that. But I also found myself, because my letting go of whatever I was upset about and completely letting go of all the junk that was in me, I find myself truly wanting to get with that person and say, you know, this is what I did, or this is what I said, and I really am sorry for that. I truly apologize. And genuinely ask that person for their forgiveness. Like I said before, it's not important to me that they initiate that discussion. I'd rather be the one to initiate. Once I recognize, I'd rather be the one to initiate. Simply so that I can do it. Because sometimes it's not just that when we do someone else wrong, we won't initiate a discussion. Sometimes when we've done wrong, the other person won't initiate the discussion either. So someone needs to initiate conversation. And I'm more than happy to be that one when I've messed up and I need to make amends. So anyway, I go ahead and make that apology. Sometimes in writing, if I can't get to the person, to say it to them, I write a letter, send it, because it's that important to me. And man, I'm just saying, when you think about, and I'll be honest with you, just knowing I put forth a sincere effort causes me to feel better. And that's not even what I was going for. What I was going for was, I need to apologize to this person. I need to make this right. And that's all I was going for. But in the process, I discovered after the fact, I began to realize after the fact, wow, you know what? I really feel better. And, oh man, you talk about feeling good. Don't let the situation come up where the two of you can get together and you can say to that person, I was wrong and I apologize for it. And you two reconcile with each other. It doesn't have to be a husband-wife relationship, like I said before. That's why I said put this in whatever context you want to. Listen to this. Nurturing our relationships is one of the best emotional investments we can make. If we make an effort to cultivate and build our connections with other people, we'll soon reap the rewards of more positive emotions. That's what I'm sharing with you. That's something that I began to experience without even realizing that was going to be one of the benefits. All I wanted to do was make things right. Felt so much better as a result. And as you become happier, you'll attract more people and higher quality relationships, leading to either even greater positivity and enjoyment. So what do they want us to do? In addition, and again now, we're talking about nurturing and enjoying our relationships. That is the second tip to cultivating happiness. Who remembers what the first tip was, by the way? Yeah, the first tip that we talked about when it comes to developing our relationships. This one is all about nurturing and enjoying our relationships. The first one was about developing a lifestyle of being grateful. Developing a lifestyle of gratitude. All right, so the second one here is nurturing and enjoying our relationships. All right, now, when we come back, I'm going to have us take a look at something else, and we'll continue this whole business of, well, being happy on purpose, probably next Monday. Well, no, as a matter of fact, let's plan. I think we might do that this Saturday. Continue that discussion this Saturday. Yes, so that we can be empowered to be happy. Back in a few.